Kick Splasher, a community story. Written by Annie Darling and read by Sunspot. One of the best things about living at Pierce's sweet pad was that Pierce didn't actually ask him to do very much. Most of the time, they didn't even cross paths. The place was big enough for that. And it was only when they randomly bumped into each other in some hallway of the mansion that they both seemed to remember that he only had a roof over his head because Pierce needed someone to take care of some pretty minor tasks, like bending the straws in Pierce's endless glasses of iced tea to the correct angle, or making sure that the anatomically correct ice cube trays were always full. Though, now that he thought about it, maybe those were summertime things, and maybe Pierce would move on to pumpkin carving or turkey wrangling as the weather got colder. Still, Pierce wouldn't give him anything to do unless he saw him, so Troy went off to bask in the glory of his private bathroom. Even without the possibility of boobies that the dorm bathrooms promised, it totally left them in the dust. He thought maybe that this was the bathroom that Pierce's wives had used, because it was pink like a whole parade's worth of puppies' tongues, and there was some kind of fancy writing on the faucets. It was all swirly, and looked the way that Abed sounded when he talked to his dad in their secret language. It wasn't nearly as cool as his own secret language with Abed, though. Abed and his dad didn't do any sweet robot noises or have anything like a private handshake that could be used to say, "Hello," or "See you later," or "Man, I missed you." Abed hadn't even known how to do a regular high five when they first started putting together their secret code. Like, no one had ever bothered to listen to any of his cool ideas and say how awesome they sounded. That was totally weird, right? Because nobody had plans like Abed. And nobody looked all lit up from hearing Troy's plans like Abed, either. He pulled off his clothes. Yellow socks and red and yellow striped underwear, thrown on top of his blue shirt and jeans. There was something fun about wearing bright colors where no one else could see them. Like a superhero outfit that would only be revealed once danger loomed. He remembered the vivid strip of green he'd seen just above the waistband of Abed's blue jeans the other day. Proof that they were living the dream and that they were ready for the day supervillains threatened Greendale. Thinking about what they'd do if that fateful day ever came, though, was like playing that chicken-corn-fox game that they'd played on the third day of Anthropology. Who would they rescue first? They both said surely when they discussed it over root beer floats after class. Because she, at least, could get a new civilization started if the rest of them were wiped out. She'd make sure everyone who was left had some job to do and a friendly person to turn to when the work was done. And if she got lonely, she could always talk to Jesus. But that meant leaving Jeff with Britta and Annie, with Pierce ready and waiting to say exactly the wrong thing. And that was like leaving the fox with the chicken. Or a couple of foxes with a couple of chickens. Or maybe a fox and a wolf and a rhinoceros and a bunny. Troy still hadn't worked that part out. All he knew was that it was a bad idea, and what he really, secretly wanted anyway, was to send Abed off with Shirley, just to know that Abed was safe and would be around to keep coming up with awesome ideas. And also so that the survivors they rescued would have entertainment like Kick Puncher and Kick Puncher Detroit to listen to as they sat around a fire and ate Shirley's brownies. Even if he had to make the ultimate sacrifice somewhere along the way, that image alone made it worth it. It was too cold in the bathroom to stand around naked without any self-warming superpower, so he turned the hot water on and hopped in when the steam started rising. There was water coming at him from every angle, and if he could only get a sandwich and some special drink by pushing a button on the wall, or if only monkey butlers were real, the training with Annie's boobs had not gone well. Then he'd happily stay in here for days. There was a whole big shelf full of shampoos and conditioners and body washes that he was still working his way through. That one in the tall, aqua-colored can looked interesting. Skintimate, it said, and Troy thought that sounded pretty dirty in a way he didn't want to consider Pierce being, not when the shower was big enough for a whole dorm hall, let alone Pierce and all of his wives. He popped the top off and took a big whiff. That was a mistake, he thought as he doubled over, water from some of the sideways showerheads getting in his ears and up his nose as he sneezed repeatedly. He'd forgotten Pierce's lessons, and the sound of his sneezes as they echoed off the tiles were alarmingly girly, like he was already playing Michelle Kickpuncher's endangered fiancé in the unauthorized underwater sequel he and Abed were planning. He grinned and let the water pour down his face at that thought. He'd pretty much always wanted to ride a dolphin to safety. He practiced the chirping and cheeping noises he'd memorized from a couple episodes of Flipper he and Abed had watched while scrapping down Lucky Charms. Yeah, that sounded right. He bet Flipper would give him a high five. Or maybe he and Abed could teach him their special one as a way to kick off filming of Splash Kicker at the Greendale Pool. He picked up the Skintimate can and put it back on the shelf, knocking over another jar that fell right into his hands. He started to rub the goop into his face, then stopped when he felt it stinging. Man, girls had to be fierce to use this stuff. It felt like his skin was being torn off by sandpaper. But it smelled too good to stop. And anyway, Michelle had to be tough to tame a man like Kickpuncher. So he tried again, more gently this time, and got a whiff of vanilla and coconut that made him smell like he'd spent all day at the beach. A sexy beach, where he'd drink something out of a hollowed coconut, and Abed would twirl the little umbrella that came with it, and they'd watch the sun go down. It would be just warm enough that the water would feel like a bath, and they'd run into it after tossing a frisbee or a football around, sand getting between their bare toes. He didn't know if Abed could swim, and he knew Abed knew nothing about football, except for what he'd figured out from Necessary Roughness and Friday Night Lights. Troy raised his face to the spray once more, smiling as all the sugar scrub was washed away, and shared his special high five with the tiled wall. Tomorrow, he'd teach Abed how to throw a spiral and tell him about his new ideas for Splash Kicker, or maybe even for Splash Kicker 2, Mermaid's Revenge. The end.